Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. This is Travis.
I'm Chris.
And thank you for tuning in once again. We are back. We took a little break because the show that we've been covering this year, Walking Dead, was on a break. So we took a break. In the meantime, we did our 2016 year in review. So
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was.
That took a whole lot longer than I thought it was going to
be. Yeah, it did. So if you haven't checked it out yet, Yeah, you're on our YouTube page. Hit the subscribe button. Like our videos, tell us what you think, put some comments in there. Yeah, and welcome to this episode. In this one, we just said Walking Dead's back. Well, it was back last week. And then the new episode just came out.
Yeah. It's some scheduling conflicts last week.
Yeah.
We were out of town to watch some wrestling.
Where can you find that stuff at?
Oh, we're not going to try to promote that show, are we?
Well, I mean, we're on Houston Wrestling Radio, okay.
So there's another show called Houston Wrestling Radio. Facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio. On the Twitter machine at H Wrestling Radio.
See how we do that there? Pretty slick, huh?
The boss will be happy, right?
Yeah. I'm all right. All right. So
we were out of town.
Yeah.
And then last week, a couple of days ago, well, basically yesterday, we were out of town again because... Yeah. Again, with the wrestling stuff. We just finished watching the second episode. We watched the first episode last Monday.
Yep.
And now we're getting at it.
And if you've seen the past episodes of our Walking Dead shows, that's the main course. But sometimes we do like to throw a little appetizer in there first before we get into... It's a two-part episode we're doing this. We're reviewing two episodes, so this ain't going to take too long. Although I did want to mention one thing that's been popping up, I've seen on the news feeds lately, something that I posted on our Facebook page about the Batman movie coming out.
Oh my god! What the hell's happening? Wasn't Ben Affleck gonna take this?
Here's the thing: even before all that, man. Okay, it was always gonna be Ben Affleck. He's producing it. He's writing it. He's directing it. He's starring in it. Right? He's doing everything.
It's his bitch, basically.
And a couple weeks ago, rumors were circulating that he doesn't want to direct it anymore. He wants to back out of directing, and he just wants to star in it. And you can't really blame him. Who doesn't want to be Batman, right? So a couple days pass, whatever. We find out that they found a new director in Matt Reeves. Mm-hmm. Matt Reeves, pretty accomplished director in his own right. He's done Cloverfield. He did the last two Planet of the Apes movies.
Mm-hmm.
Several of the movies under his little resume there. But I thought, okay, yeah, not a bad pick. The Planet of the Apes movies, that's the most recent stuff. Yeah. So that kind of shows you where he's at right now.
So they're going to go with it.
Yeah, for about a cup of coffee. as per usual, with anything with DC movies... Warner Brothers, I don't know what is going on in these meetings with Warner Brothers, but they cannot keep directors at all. This whole DC Extended Universe thing, it is like, you see it crumbling. If you're a wrestling fan, you could probably compare it to what, TNA? Pretty much.
No, we can't lose our listeners.
Yeah, that's
here,
the last wrestling reference. But anyway, they lost Matt Reeves. He's already backed down of it. So they're still in search right now. But now there's even another rumor that's I haven't heard confirmation of this, but now Ben Affleck is now wanting to not play Batman at all.
What? That's new to me. I've been staying away from the internet for the last couple of days.
Yeah, it just came out over the weekend, buddy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, now, well, it's a rumor. Take it for what it's worth. You know, it's not as confirmed as what the Matt Reeves situation, the director situation was, but man, it's like DC cannot catch a break at all.
With tentpole movies like DC, they're stubborn to their release times. Like, we have to have it this day. It has to be ready. We have to do XYZ. So I would hate for them to rush it and give us something of lesser quality, especially if Ben Affleck kind of is aware that, you know what, this, I don't want to be associated with this, and this is what I'm going to get, you know, which I don't blame him. I mean, get out while the love is still there, you know. Right now, he pretty much has the benefit of the doubt being a pretty good Bruce Wayne and a pretty good Batman in this BVS movie.
Mm-hmm. Justice League's coming out.
Yeah, Justice League's.
Zack Snyder just he threw some stuff out on, I think it was on Instagram or Twitter, one of those two, but the behind-the-scenes stuff, and they were shooting, like, Batman scenes. There's pretty cool shots of, like, a Batman fight scene going on right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm
trying to stay away from it. I just happened to like, run up on one of my news feeds, so... But anyway, it's so weird. Like the same thing happened with the Flash movie. They lost their director on that one. And that's been in limbo ever since. That was like a few months ago. It's so weird. They had over San Diego Comic Con back in July. They had a DC panel, DC movie panel came out, and they had all the directors come out. None of them are there anymore. with the exception of the director
for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, the Wonder Woman. That's like the one thing that's been consistent. I mean, it's been good and good praise, although. Even on that
and
one.
And apparently it's done, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know if it's wrapped or not, but I know that even with that one, there's even rumors that, you know, people that have already seen it, they're like, they're not happy to, you know, they're saying that's a mess too. But that could be just, you know, people just hating on DC just for the sake of hating on it, because that's the cool thing to do nowadays. But, man, it's kind of heartbreaking, because I can understand him backing away from directing Batman. But if he's going to step away from it altogether,
there has to be something major going on for him to want to do that.
Which is weird, because right before that rumor of him wanting to back out, I saw reports of the script is finished, and both Ben Affleck loves the script, Zack Snyder loves the script, and the higher-ups, they all were loving the script that was finally finished. So that's what threw me off a little bit about these rumors about him not wanting to play anymore, but... who knows, man? I don't know. It's just weird to me that they're having so many problems. It's fucking Batman. Like, how do you
fuck up Batman?
Look, I know you're going with that, and that's exactly the attitude that they have. You know, whatever they have, if it's good or bad, look, you gotta say, hey, it can't be worse than Batman and Robin.
And here's
it can't be worse.
And here's another facet to the story. For all the screw ups that are going on right now in the human version. You need to get off your ass and go see fucking Lego Batman.
I was going
to
ask you.
Because Lego Batman, like, if you wanted a direct sequel to the Lego movie, this is fucking it. Like, there's so many Batbrand references from, like, everything.
Yeah.
It's a geek's dream.
Yeah.
And the story, it's your typical sentimental kid. Again, this is a kid's movie.
Right.
It's Warner Brothers animated, based on Lego toys. Right. So you have to keep that in mind when you're watching this. I damn near cried, man. It pulls your heartstrings that these little figures can make these emotions come out
these
of real
blocks.
That come out of real people. But fuck, it was a really good movie. And even up to the very end, I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting this. Okay, I wasn't expecting this. It's fun. It's a fun movie, you know. And I'm guessing that's the balance that you have. Like Marvel's like color. So for DC to be all dark and broody and broody all the time, that's their balance that they have the Lego Batman where it's all like, yay.
You know,
but
it's so weird.
I fucking loved it. Yeah, I want to make plans to watch it again when I come back from vacation. Yeah.
I know you can drag my ass out there.
Yeah.
but no, it's so funny because like Warner Brothers and, you know, it's like maybe they just focus on the wrong things. Like maybe they just try to focus on the animation side. Because, you know, DC Animated, you know, all those movies.
For the most part, they've been good.
Yeah. I'm not, ever since the New 52 reboot of, you know, War and Justice League and all that, you know, all this other stuff after Flashpoint, I've been kind of wishy-washy on the animation style. That's a preference point for me, but...
But the stories itself are
good.
Yeah,
at least it's all connected and everything, but...
I'm waiting, what's the movie that came out a while ago that has, the actor from the Constantine TV show reprised his role.
Matt Ryan, it's Justice League Dark.
Justice League Dark. I'm waiting for that to hit Redbox so I can get my hands on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's already out on Blu-ray, DVD. But the reason I brought that up is I finally, I've watched Killing Joke.
Ah, pray tell. I've had it on my computer for a while.
But have you watched it?
Yeah, okay. I have watched it. Yeah.
Man, that was disappointing. I understand like a little setup and then kind of, you know, taking some liberties with the storytelling a little bit, but that whole setup opening, that's like half the movie.
The first half of that movie feels
also,
like
also where's the Joker
else.
Where's the Killing Joke at? This is
I don't think 30 minutes was necessary to build up the Joker paralyzing
it was
Barbara.
And the whole her making out them make, you know, her and Batman being a thing, it's all the same. I feel the same thing that I see all the reports for. Like, all the reviews started coming out. I was trying to avoid spoilers, and I got some spoilers. But that's how I'm feeling right now. I was like, man, I fell asleep towards the end, man. It was bad. Of course, I started watching at 1 o'clock in the morning. But hey, that's the point. The point is, it couldn't keep my attention for an hour and a half. Yeah. You know? But anyway.
It failed the sleep test. I've had several little sleep tests before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every Monday's between 7 and 10.
and it kind of... it made the ending almost like I had to scratch my head there. It's like the after everything
I knew what they were doing with the ending, but it didn't. Yeah, it just ended weird.
It didn't work.
No, I agree.
There, going back and reading the paperback, I don't. There's not other than the title. It's hard to make this. It's hard to tie all the similarities together to try to make the animated version worth making compared to what's on paper.
Yeah, don't do
that's it. Especially when whether you like it or you hate it, that's gotten the most. That's like one of the most known stories of DC. It's fabled almost as one of like the best known stories, you know. And it's hard to make that work. I kind of compare it to where like Disney's having this run of they want to do these live action versions of these classic animated movies like the Jungle Book, and then they're doing
they're Beauty reversing the Beast. They're doing animated now. They're doing live
and
action,
and it doesn't work. Like I don't get. They're even gonna do Lion King now, you know. And I don't know.
I've heard good things about Jungle Book. I haven't seen it myself. I'm seeing the trailers for Beauty and the Beast, and there's a lot of imagery from that animated movie. But my problem with that is the animated movie is so good. Why even try to rehack that, redo it? Like why? Why?
I would think it's one thing if Disney wants to like sponsor and put money into like a full blown like a Broadway show of Beauty and the Beast, where you take it on tour and you do it. But if you're gonna like try to like legit make a movie to like, don't fix what ain't broke.
Yeah.
You know, like these movies are classics. There's no reason to redo them, just like in that same sense. Like if you're gonna do something different with it, like take it on the road or do a musical or something like that. That's one thing. But if you're gonna like,
I know, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's why if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, don't. If it's a perfect film, don't try to redo it. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. Just don't mess with it. Just leave it alone. All right. So I think that covers the appetizer.
There we go. Sure.
So we're just gonna slide right into the review section of this episode. We're gonna do
two episodes.
Yeah, we're gonna do episodes 9 and 10 of season 7 of Walking Dead. Like I said, it came back last week. We're in February, so you know, it's 2 weeks ago. So okay. So, episode 9. This is we're returning from the break.
Mm-hmm. We're getting ready for war.
Yeah, yeah. And it starts off in Hilltop, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. So, on Hilltop, Rick is having a talk with Gregory. Gregory's not having it. You know, I like the quirkiness of Gregory, like not getting their names right. You know, call him Richie, and not getting their name.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, yeah. It's just in his non. You know his. His attitude is pretty much like, no, I'm not getting involved in this fight. Get out.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So that's pretty much the gist of the... Oh, when they're in that talk, they're kind of deflated, you know, because they couldn't recruit Hilltop. But as they're leaving...
Basically, Hilltop comes out like,
yeah,
we got you.
Yeah. Fuck that old man.
I think the first half of this season, Maggie's pretty much proven that... She's a better leader than fucking Gregory is, and everybody
isn't.
Yeah,
who isn't at this point?
Right? Yeah, everybody's already figured that out, and they've had enough. So, at least they got the Hilltop. So right now, it's Alexandria, Hilltop.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and that was solidifying what's going on, what's gonna be happening with Hilltop. You know, because they kind of left. They said, you know, if Maggie's here with you, we'll join you. You know, so that's it. From there, where do we go from there? We go from Hilltop to
let's go to the Kingdom.
Kingdom. All right. So, this is Rick and his merry men. They're going down the trail here.
Jesus leads them to King Ezekiel.
Jesus is leading the way to the kingdom.
Yeah, that kingdom come.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. The metaphors in this show is going crazy. All right.
Yeah, really.
All right. So, this is...
They meet the tiger.
I love this scene. Like, this... First of all, meeting Ezekiel would be kind of like how they reacted, but the fact that they see them and then see the tiger, and they're like from a, they're talking to him.
It's like, hey, I don't know if you noticed, motherfucker got a goddamn tiger.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, did I forget to mention that? Yeah. Yeah. So,
Rick meets Morgan. They run into each other.
Yeah.
That friction's still there. You know, from the first half of the season where they can't decide. The philosophies are still skewed.
I don't blame Rick one bit. Rick Morgan is just get out of my face. Why can't of all the people that lived?
Oh man!
And you notice when they did reconnect, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of hey, you know, hug or embrace. Like, where's Carol? Like that's have you seen Carol? That's the
so
thing.
So the group pleads to Ezekiel's like, bro, we need you. And Ezekiel's like, you know what? Let me sleep on it.
And Rick's like, no, we gotta.
We need to know.
Yeah, we need. We can't wait around. You know.
And then
and he still says no.
And then after all that, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. But
God damn.
But in the middle of all that, Rick was telling him about Daryl, how he got out, and he's like, you know, he can't. He's basically on the run. Like he can't be seen anywhere. And at least, that's the one thing Ezekiel did say. He was like, hey. He can stay here. He can stay here while he's.
They've got their own deal going where they don't invade.
Yeah.
Which up to this point is legit. We see the tension.
They do things on the outside of the kingdom, but they haven't gone in like they do with Alexandria.
Yeah.
You know, they do it on the outskirts. A little meeting group. It's like in a parking lot or something. I don't know exactly where it's at, but
they have a common ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Neutral ground. Yeah. Territory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So. That's pretty much it for Kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a no for Kingdom as of right now.
That's a no.
Daryl's staying with Kingdom right now. Mm-hmm. As they're walking off, there's a little exchange between Rosita and Tara, right? Is it Tara she talks to?
No.
She's talking to someone else.
Both of Abraham's love interests, basically.
Sasha.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we just fucked the same guy. We're not friends.
That doesn't make us friends.
No.
Because this whole time, ever since everything's been going on with Rosita, ever since the start of this season, she's been going off the rails as far as where she's at mentally, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to culminate at one point, but yeah, she's...
You see what happens when you don't get enough dick, so...
It's right there.
Proof's in the pudding.
Yeah, it's... This is a documentary. So... that's pretty much it. They leave. Okay, so where
so they go back to Alexandria.
Yes,
where Negus people are already aware of. Hey, guess what? Where's your boy?
No, it's funny because when they go there and they see that they're already there, first thing I thought is, like, oh, I'm so glad that they knew to hide Daryl because that would have been a totally different situation.
Yeah.
But I think we missed something.
We missed the part where they find the bombs. And they clothesline 1,000 zombies in a pair of cars.
Yes. Oh man. Far as visually stunning kills of zombies, I think that's gonna top it. I think I can't really think of mass killings in that level.
They needed to balance that for such a beautiful display of killing on that episode. They followed it up with two horrible CGI scenes that we'll get to in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. They had to balance the budget.
Yeah.
Keep it in the black.
Balance that checkbook, buddy. You want this season going for season 8.
And pretty much the Negans, the saviors, they tell Rick, hey, man, there's no statutory limitations on this. It could be 100 years from now. We see you with Daryl.
Yeah.
Y'all fucked.
Well, we see Daryl. He's dead. Pretty much. Yeah. So... But what I was saying is in the midst of that, the episode started off with Gabriel on the top. He's looking out, and then we see him kind of like walk away. Dude, whenever he's like just staring in the outpost, and he was just kind of staring off, and he's all quiet and everything, and they looked at the Bible. I was expecting a gunshot. I was waiting for like some kind of sniper kill or something. Like, boom,
has it gotten to the point now in The Walking Dead with all the death teases that now you're expecting like every time there's somebody's alone and they're like. Off doing their own thing, or they're like in out of place. You expecting them to
pretty
die?
Pretty much,
yeah.
Or when they smile.
Oh shit!
Because God forbid we have any happiness in this show.
Yeah. Well, it's the apocalypse. What's so fun about that?
You make your own. Whatever you do, kill the time somehow, right?
Become a savior.
I'm sure there's a pack of Uno cards around, laying around somewhere. So that was the thing. Gabriel, he left his post. He started gathering up
all the food, all of it.
Yeah,
I'd be pissed.
And he took off, and then we have to bring that up because that's they find out in the end of that episode when they got back and after the saviors left, like where's all the shit?
Yeah,
you know, well because the saviors are asking, hey, you're running kind of low here, you know,
and it's new to everybody because they weren't even there.
Yeah. And I liked, I think it was Aaron that covered it. He's like, it's getting hard to find. You know, it's, yeah. There's a lot of people here, you know, and we're having to give you our shit.
Yeah.
What do you want us to do? You know? So, I don't know. That was a... That was kind of a nice sequence of, mm-hmm. of events that happened in that episode. And then after that, they kind of investigate and see what happened. They're like, Gabriel left overnight. He took all our shit. And Rick, for some reason, he's like, no, something's
finds a clue.
Yeah.
To go back to the boat.
Right.
Where they were at that pool of zombies, and they went right at the boat and found all those supplies.
Yeah.
And they weren't the only ones there.
Yeah.
That's how the first episode ends. And that's
well,
what we...
What happened at the end? Because
they get swarmed
yeah.
by a bunch of people that we have no idea who they are, and Rick just has the biggest shit-eating grin.
What'd you think of that with that smile?
The guy's got nuts.
I just took it as, well, one of two things. Either he's thinking, you gotta be fucking kidding me at this point.
Right, yeah.
Because all he can do is laugh at this point. You know?
Like, he doesn't have any more fucks to give in these
yeah.
hands. Look at this.
Yeah.
Gone.
Or he's thinking, fuck, these aren't the saviors. So either I can kill these fuckers or they can join us.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I took it as. And then for the most part, I think that's what it is. Because when we get into episode 10,
mm-hmm.
We're jumping right into the next episode
yep.
here. When we get into
who did you fashionably call these people? You, the Transformers fan.
I was waiting for them to call themselves something like Oceanside or.
Because everybody has a clique now.
Yeah, you know, Saviors.
That's Oceanside. How you merchandise a bad guy team. That's how you can put their
wolves,
name on shirts.
The Wolves had one.
The Whisperers are coming.
But these people that lived in a junkyard, they had no name. There's a bunch of weird ass fucking people walking around. They're in the junkyard. I call them the Junkians. Transformers fans, you've got the reference?
Yeah, we'll make it work.
There you go. So
the Junkians.
Yeah, I don't know what else to call them. And then, do you want to talk about this whole scene with what happened with...
I didn't read into it that much. I didn't know that like half of the group was a marching band. So you go for it.
Yeah, what the hell? Okay, some other things happened. We're going to jump in. We're going to take care of this whole thing right now. Because... Okay.
This is the Junkian section of the podcast.
It's okay. It starts overhead view of the junkyard, right? And then doors open, and then you start like army ants come around. You know, that's what it looks like from the overhead view. And they're like just going back and forth.
Then you look like a human ant farm.
Yeah, it's yeah, right. And then it's just like they're just walking around and they're walking back and like Rick is like, what the fuck? Like all the our group people, they're like, who are these people? Crazy white people. So they're like walking around and they find
a criteria to be in the group. You have to have long hair, uh-huh. Your clothes have to be dirty, and you can't look like you know what you're doing.
And you gotta be white.
Sure. No, that was a little bit of everybody.
That's right, there was.
There were a little bit of everybody.
And
they're
just so crazy.
This is not Trump's America. This is probably where this came from. The apocalypse came from this presidency.
Well, it's funny you say that.
This could be a documentary just like fucking
it's funny you say that because the leader of this group, she comes out. And she starts talking, and she starts talking, and I'm like, what the hell?
Take him to the up, 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 up.
Not even before that, she was like, just like, not doing like cohesive, like, her grammar so broke, her English and language, her grammar so broke, like mine is right now, was so broken. It's like, did you think that, I mean, if, it's almost.
Either you're faking it very well, or you're a dumbass.
Like her character.
But her sign languages were cool. Like, this means go away. That means bring the monster. This means we all crazy. I don't know.
It reminded me of a character from, like, Mad Max or something, where it's so, like, post-apocalyptic future that they've forgotten how to speak and they're savages now and they just grunt and everything. That's what it felt like to me.
The midget Spartan from 300,
yeah.
The freak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. You surprise me sometimes. You surprise me. If you knew his name, I'd be more impressed.
He dies. Fucking I care what his name was.
Master Blaster. Anyway, so, all right. But that was the thing with that. And I was like, I was so taken back. Like, who the fuck talks like that? Like, that wasn't even, like, is she portraying a character, a caricature of a person of being a survivor or something? I don't know. It was so weird. And then they have this ritual where they took him on the up-up-up or whatever the fuck she said in. And then
the fall looked like fun. Have you ever gone down that hill at Herman Park? And you're just like,
yeah, who has it? You're in Houston. You've done
it. Yeah. So that's what that felt. That's what that looked
except
like.
On metal
and garbage. And that one mattress in the middle.
So this is where we turn into Return of the Jedi, where Luke gets thrown in the dungeon and the Rancor monster comes out and he's got to beat him. But this is it's a zombie.
With swords and weapons sticking out of everywhere.
Yeah.
I thought it was number 7 from Slipknot.
It probably was. You don't see them.
Or a new Hellraiser.
You don't see them in the show. That could be him.
Corey Taylor just got his...
Look at the credits.
Yeah.
Watch the credits. I'm sure...
Corey Taylor got the cameo. Yeah. It's over with.
You heard it here first. Exclusive.
The next album is a
it's a killer.
Walking Dead.
Yeah. It's a killer. No, don't go. Don't go. Don't go.
Yeah. We lost everybody anyway.
Come back.
The fight scene was cool for what it was. I liked how he wound up beating it because I doubt he was going to be able to take him on hand-to-hand combat.
Is that the smartest thing? Like, your first move out is, like, to push your hand right through the spike? Like, I can understand you doing that, like, 3-4 moves into the fight. But your very first move? Really?
And then you're going to kick it.
Next to the blade.
Next to the glaze. God.
Hey, at least it stopped right there.
And then you keep going. Dude, Michonne would have been pissed.
So he finally...
he earns the respect. He takes out Super Walker, Super Shredder.
Thanks, Michonne.
Yeah.
Use the piles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They win. He succeeds the achievement to go to the next round, which is let's make a deal, sponsored by Monty Hall. And in the deal, which they're already fucked because they owe Saviors all kinds of shit, and their shits and their shelves are empty. Now he works a barter deal with this group, saying, "Hey, we'll give you a third of all the winnings."
No, half.
Third of all the
half.
A third. Of all the winnings,
and you keep half.
Assuming that they can all take out this group. So far, and they agree.
I love this whole thing that Rick is just smiling this whole time, these negotiations. He's like, Rick, you've lost your fucking mind. Hey, at this point, I think a victory is a victory.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let's get to that, because after all... He talks to her. She goes to shake his hand, and he pulls out his...
the bloody hand.
The hole in it, and she's like... So anyway, they go away, and then we have a little conversation with Rick and Gabriel, and that kind of like that summed up that whole scene. And he asked Rick a lot of questions that we were asking. Gabriel's like, why are we laughing? Why are you smiling? And he kind of told him, it's like, it's a victory.
Yeah.
You know,
someone told me that I can make friends out of enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird because transition to that, we saw how they make a deal. Mm-hmm. And apparently the Kingdom people don't know how to keep their deal because there's tension. There's like awkward tension in this like common ground. Like the Negan group knows that the Kingdom don't deserve this, and the Kingdom knows that Negan's going to fuck them over sooner or later. And they're the little bits from each squad are like they can't figure it out. And it gets to the point where Morgan steps in.
I was not expecting that.
No, what I wasn't expecting was the Padawan.
Yeah, Iron Fist.
Yeah, to step up behind Morgan and be like, bitch, no, he my master. You know, and all that. Like, whoa, okay. And
that escalated quickly.
Yeah. I think that's going to be like the weight that starts to tilt the saw to the other side where, you know what, we need to...
Well, this is more people after this incident with that. That's more people telling Ezekiel that, hey, we got to do something, you know, because Ezekiel's just still trying to be passive about this and it ain't going to happen. So it was a nice little scene of setting up more tension and who's on whose side type thing, even within the factions.
Yeah.
I forget the main military soldier dude for the Kingdom. The guy with the body gear and shit on?
Yeah.
The fucked up nose? Yeah. I forget his name, but he's the kind of proponent of let's take these fuckers out.
Yeah. He gives Daryl the crossbow.
Yeah,
because he's looking for help and Daryl knows what he's doing and he's spilling his guts to Daryl's like, bro, we need to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that leads to a scene later on with...
They want to do an ambush.
Yeah. And it kind of explained, because I was missing a little bit of this. What were they wanting to do? with this ambush.
They were trying. For the most part, I couldn't get in, I couldn't understand much of it either. I just saw a bunch of guns. I saw some Molotov cocktails. Those are delicious after midnight. And then, like, they left the trail was supposed to go towards the house that Carol was at.
Right.
And that was going to be the victim. So they were going to play it off as this is the person that did it.
Yeah.
And then we killed her off and that's it or whatever. Until Daryl finds out that it's Carol there. And Daryl's like...
It was so funny that he mentioned a woman. That's all he said. And Daryl's like kind of his ears perked up and he was like, wait... And then he kept on going. He said, she can take care of herself, but, you know, we got to do what we got to do. And he's like, whoa, this woman, she can take care of herself. What's her name? And he's like, oh, I didn't think you knew her. But
what's her name?
Yeah. And then he said, Carol. I was like, oh, shit. He shouldn't have said that. Daryl's like, no, leave her alone. Get out. You know, pretty much, I'm out of this.
Yeah.
And they were starting to come.
And they're fighting each other because he's not going to let Carol take the fall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they wind up going their separate ways.
And they cut to Ezekiel and his Jerry.
You're going to miss Jerry, aren't you?
As soon as he's dead, I'm going to, man. I was like, ah, they killed Jerry. I'm starting to like Jerry. Jerry's a good guy. He's good people. He brought Carol Cobbler. Half eaten.
Half eaten. I wonder who ate the other half.
Jerry. So anyway, that was a nice little scene of Carol and Ezekiel. Like I told you, they wouldn't even bother. We're just passing by trying to kill some of the waste. I like how he calls them the wasted. I like that. But we're killing some wasted. I was trying not to disturb you. You're the one that opened the door. She's like, all right, well, you got me. All right. So yeah, and they pass. In the next scene, we see Carol reading a book.
Again. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I thought these bitches to leave. She opens the door.
Commercial break. Oh. Yeah, we get the reunion. It's Carol and Daryl meeting face-to-face for the first time in a long time. Like, I even asked you, it was like, when was the last time they saw each other?
Yeah.
Because that was before the capture. That was before.
Yeah, Carol tried sneaking out because she had already had doubts. And she had even told her dude, her little side piece, was like, yeah, I'm leaving. Like, I can't do this anymore. But, yeah, it's been a while. It's been a few episodes. Yeah. And it helps when they break down these episodes where they focus on one particular storyline or arc, so it gives you weeks for you to feel like, damn, how long has it been?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just goes back to investing in your characters long enough to where you have these moments. Like, I felt genuine emotion of, oh, they're finally reunited. It's like, man, it's moments like these that keep me watching this show.
Yeah.
Basically. And then the cliffhanger. You know, Carol's making the fire, and she's asking Daryl, hey, did y'all find the saviors? Did anybody get hurt? You know, because if somebody would get hurt, that'd be the end of me. I'd call
yeah,
it quits.
Yeah, she was kind of throwing her heart out there in front of Daryl. I mean, it's they know each other, so it's...
Oh,
but,
dude, yeah.
But she was like, man, if I find out that, you know, if anybody was hurt by these people, I would have to go out and seek revenge, get and kill them all. And if I do that, that's the last of my soul. You know, that's the last of me. You know, and then Daryl's seen on was like, shit, did I tell her? And he's like, no, I'm not. And then he's like, he paused. He's like, they came, we took care of them. We had a deal. We have a deal similar to the kingdom. Everything's fine. No one got hurt.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I understand. You know what? I get it because he cares for her. He doesn't want her to go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a nice moment, you know. And they sit down and they have dinner and everything. That was a nice little moment. And that was good, you know, because now you know Carol's is kind of, in my mind, I think that she's going to be just away from her. That's a good, if we don't see her again, which I don't see why we wouldn't, but mm-hmm. if we don't see her again, I could see that as a good send off of her, or why she's
nice
staying,
goodbye.
Why yeah. she's staying away. And that was his goodbye to her, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, but as he was leaving, she had a look on her face, almost like,
you
that
motherfucker.
I don't think you're telling the truth. Yeah. So yeah. maybe she knows something's not right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, what else we got going on this episode? We have the Junkions, we have Carol and Daryl,
and then we have the Carol and Daryl and then the deal with the kingdom. So that sums it up in a nutshell, actually, for number two. What? Does it feel like we forgot something?
I think so. I'm looking on my notes right now. No, that's pretty much
that's
it.
Everything.
There's more of the Rosita stuff. Like, she was talking to Tara.
Dude, and Rosita just needs to shut the fuck up and be a team player.
Just, yeah, be on the team or get out.
Dude.
I mean, why are you being a bitch to everybody?
She knows Abraham tried to get out of that group before.
Yeah.
He wanted to be on his own. And they were a lot better off with the being with the group. So, Rosita,
what is she going to do on her own? Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just waiting for like episode 13 where they get Rosita gets reunited with the geek. What, forget his name.
Oh,
and he breaks her off a little something just to shut her up.
Eugene.
Eugene. He's the trailer for the next episode. Yeah, finally, Eugene finally shows up at Negan's place, and I don't know what the fuck they're gonna do. And they're teasing dissension. They're teasing a test of loyalty between Negan and Dwight.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, dollar store Daryl.
I think and, I think from the clips I saw a little bit. I mean, I could be wrong, but it's almost like they're opening up that whole thing of who let Daryl out, like who, like the clue and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going that route. I could be wrong, but maybe it's whatever. But, so what do you think? We're two episodes in from the break, the second half of the season. Are we still on?
Dude, I'm in, bro. I'm liking this.
You know what? I was about three quarters in this last episode we just watched. I thought about that was some really good writing on this episode. It felt fresh and it didn't. It wasn't like funny, but they had humorous moments in conversations, like Rick's smirk and smiling that he's been doing. The stuff with Carol and Ezekiel going back and forth. Mm-hmm. So that was fun stuff. Like I was saying before earlier, it's like, why can't anybody be fun? Like, there's no happiness in this show. Mm-hmm. But when they do, if they could maybe incorporate more of that aspect of it where it doesn't have to be all the time, but more stuff like this, what we saw, where there's a little exchange, you know, back and forth type thing, a little banter, you know, something to, you know, process everything and make it more... I like the chemistry between these two, or whatever the case may be, or you know, whatever. But it's it just felt like a fresh episode. I thought.
Yeah.
So I think I kind of like this episode more than I like the one before that one. But
the first one kind of just put everything in check.
Yeah.
But this one felt like there was more progression.
Both episodes focused on gathering the troops, more or less. So, there was a clue, I think, what we're going to see in the future towards the end after they set the deal and everything with the Junkions, that Rick was – he had Tara next to him, and he said, Tara, you've been out farthest than anybody, so you know where not to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, and she kind of like hit her little bracelet thing she had. So I think we're finally – maybe not – obviously not next episode, but maybe a couple episodes down.
Oceanside?
We might get a return to that. Maybe she'll finally break down, at least to Rick, just in confidence to Rick. Like, hey, I'm not supposed to say anything. I swore I wouldn't say anything, but I know of another group. They got weapons.
They know how to make bullets.
She's going to have to tell somebody at some point, especially now that they got to give guns for two sets of people.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, you're not a good negotiator anymore, my man. Just... cut your losses.
That's it, man.
I think so. Last two episodes are good. Like I said, I like the last one a little bit better. I know you're enjoying the episode. So next week we've got another new episode. And I think we're starting to wind down a little bit. I think we have five episodes left of the season.
Six?
Okay.
Six.
Yeah. So but that's going to be it for this one. We might be back next week, probably 2 weeks from now.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. So I hope you're still enjoying these little recaps of the Walking Dead that we're doing.
Yeah.
We tried throwing some other things in there. Like I said, the 2016 review, and maybe throw some other stuff. We're kind of throwing ideas about some other topics we're going to be doing later on. But in the meantime, if you want to get all the latest videos, again, just subscribe to the channel, Pop Culture Rewind. Give us a like on our videos, comment, tell us how we're doing. Go to our social media, facebook.com/popculturerewind.
If you have any ideas, let us know.
Yeah, we'll be glad to talk to you, do an episode about whatever, So, also on iTunes, I take these episodes and I put the audio up on iTunes. So if you can't do the YouTube thing, if you just want to have something to listen to at work, whatever, it's a free download. give us a rate and review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Anything else we can think of right now?
That's it, man.
That's it. All right. Well, till next time, always remember to pop your culture.